could you explain to me what consideration is being given to that issue? Because I believe DLDOT was addressing issues of concern about possible flooding and safety and...
Yes, I can do that.
All right, while he's getting the board up, we proposed to DLDOT the idea of putting pedestrian tunnels under 298 to connect. Most of our residents in Baywood use golf carts and on all the multimodal pathways we have, and we just thought that to reduce traffic on the roads, if a resident wanted to go to the equestrian center or a resident of Bridal and vice versa wants to come to the clubhouse to eat or play golf, that they don't have to go out on the road with their car. They can use a golf cart and not, I guess, be a safety problem. You know, they obviously we don't want them crossing, state roads with those kind of vehicles. But that was an initial idea that we proposed to DLDOT, and that's still an ongoing.
They're currently not shown on the plan because we are investigating at this point. DLDOT had questions. We have not addressed them at this point. That's because we want to keep that option open to meet with them to discuss the options of there's issues of flooding. There's other issues we have of a tunnel, and we understand that as opposed to that tunnel. But we just want to keep that door open. If we could make it work from an engineering standpoint, a safety standpoint, it's something that we want to address further with DLDOT. And as Robert suggested, you may even have horses go under there. I mean, it's it could be something that would be, a benefit to the community.
Okay. And am I correct in looking at the materials you submitted, you're proposing a 100-foot setback or 100-foot buffer for any of the wetlands?
Yes.
Okay.
The last two lots we removed were the ones that were closest to the wetlands.
Okay. In line with environmental issues with your sewage treatment, is that all being treated off-site?
Yes.
So it's going to be pumped to another location where it's going to be treated?
Yes.
On this plant, our current sewer treatment plant is located right here in the center of the Baywood Golf Course.
Okay.
So our plans would be to take all the sewer that we collect from Bridalwood and then pump it over and treat it here and use the
spray irrigation system
on the golf course to distribute the treated effluent.
So from an environmental issue, any of that sewage is actually being pumped away from the waterways?
Yes.
Okay. That's all the questions I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton?
You mentioned the widening of Banks Road and Green Road. Does that mean inside the development?
Currently we've only been requested to do work in based on the plus comments inside Green Road and on the frontage. We're anticipating they're going to want us to do off-site work along Banks Road to Route 24. If they need us to widen it, maybe add shoulders. I know they were looking at it at one point.
They have not come back with that condition. You're just putting that on.
Yeah, we're showing our willingness to work with them as need be for this project. It's not a requirement yet. We're anticipating they're going to say something along those lines.
And one thing that we alluded to earlier but didn't specifically mention, at the intersection of 298 and 24, we've already set aside a right-of-way to if DLDOT, sees fit, we will dedicate to them to straighten and actually have that intersection coming at a 90-degree angle versus the dangerous intersection that it is currently.
I have no further questions.
Thank you. Mr. Gordy.
Maybe somebody addressed this and I missed it, but why the equestrian theme and how are you going to incorporate that in this subdivision? Maybe somebody addressed that, but I don't remember hearing it.
We let Mr. Tunnel deal with that one.
I'd all started with my father. He had horses when he was younger, when he lived just down the road here in Georgetown. And he's he's basically been a horse lover, and he's ridden just casually throughout his life. So it started with that, and really when we got into it, just the equestrian center. There are equestrian activities in this area on Route 24 up Route 5 towards Milton, and really we just thought it would be a nice fit in the community. We already have a lot of different amenities, and this would just be an additional amenity to not just available to the Bridlewood community, but the overall Sussex County.
Okay, so you own the horses, or can someone live in this area?
It will be open to the public. If somebody wants to come and board their horse there, they're more than welcome to. In addition, it's not going to be any kind of membership, or anything like that. It will be a facility that is open to the public.
Okay. And how big an area is this equestrian area as far as acres?
The field is roughly 70 acres, I believe. I don't have the exact number, plus or minus a couple, but it's roughly 70 acres.
That's all the questions I have right now.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Yes, my question and concern, I guess, was about the loss of the trees in the forest. Seems to be quite a bit of acreage there, and you can just explain to me your math there on your response to the plus comment.
Sure. If you want to just go to the actual, the table one on the first page, we're going to keep 22% of the forest on site, forest stand areas, large areas of forest. And if you flip from there to figure three, and we can go through this in a little bit of detail if you'd like, and there's probably pictures of the back showing this better. What you have in front of you is a typical lot in figure three with a house, a garage.
Back up a second. Figure three, are you talking about? Oh, okay. You're talking about the house plan that fits on the lot. All right. What was the first one you referred to?
Was the actual table shown on page one?
Page one.
Showing 22% of the forest stand, but 43% of the trees to stay. And if you've been through Baywood, you'll see that this holds true. You have your house, your garage, a deck, a driveway, and outside of those areas, we're going to keep the trees. We're gonna thin out some of the smaller trees, some of the the dead wood, and keep those trees. So that area hatched as a, as an X, is areas that we intend to keep trees. So that's, we count those not as forest stands or forest areas, but trees. So when you add that area, 42%, I believe it is, of a typical lot is going to be saved. 42% of a lot times 621 lots. There's a lot of area of trees that we're actually going to keep. So when you cut out a lot and you say we're not keeping these trees, it's sort of misleading. We are keeping trees on the lots. I don't know if that helps.
You're comfortable with your math that there'll be trees.
Yes, I am.
And in addition to that, we showed in the images earlier, we do go back and we put street trees. We do plant trees back on lots where we have cleared trees. And we are very mindful of preserving the natural area as best possible. And in addition, the same images we showed earlier of the common areas where we basically thinned the small underbrush and preserved the majority of the trees.
If you look at the last picture in photo appendix number, so ridiculous, isn't it? Photo appendix A. The last, very last picture in there, it should be. Okay. Shows basically to the right side of that is, this is an example of clearing lots. These lots are ready to go. Those trees on those lots to your left are what's going to be there. And on the right is obviously it's your right of way, is the road that they're cutting through. So this is an example of how the trees are kept.
No other questions.
All right, sir. I want to go back to the equestrian operation, and this is as much a question, I think, for Mr. Schrader as it is for Mr. Tunnel, but this is, you mentioned this is going to be open to the public, and I assume that there is going to be a charge for boarding your horses there. I don't imagine you're doing it for nothing, and it's open to the public. Is this... tell me how this fits into the subdivision ordinance, because it sounds like you're operating a business there to me.
Well, it's not a commercial venture in the sense that there are goods and wares for sale. It is, as you described, a boarding fee, which would probably be no different than a leasehold fee if you were renting units to people. But in this case, you're renting storage areas for horses. I'm not a horseman, so I'm sure I'm mischaracterizing that. But as a commercial venture, it is not commercial in the sense that it's the sales of goods and wares. It is not the offering of professional services. It is not a restaurant facility or any of the things that would fit either in the NB district or a B1 district or a C1 district where you're trying to define the 50 or 60 commercial type things. And my recollection is, without pulling the code, that the boarding of horses in an AR1 district is a permitted use on 5 or more acres.
But I want to follow up on that, because it seems like it's a permitted use if it's for personal enjoyment, not as a business. So that's not what we have. Referring to what you said, though, it talks about on 5 or more acres, on a farm of 5 or more acres, that stables, public, are permitted, provided that any building or keeping of animals should be located at least 200 feet from any lot lines. Do you characterize this as a farm?
I would suppose I would answer your question with a question, Mr. Robertson, by drawing your attention to a number of stables that exist either on Route 24 or on Route 5 running from Harbison to Milton, and suggest to you that they are probably not farms in the classic sense, that they are maintained for the purpose of horticulture or growing crops for sale. They are farms in the sense that if you draw upon the historical experience of farms here in Sussex County, virtually every farm at one time or another kept farm animals, including cows and horses. And if you fly over Sussex County, darn near all of them have racetracks.
Well, if that's the case, in those situations, aren't they on a farm where there's one house and one stable? And if that's the case...
Wait a minute. People, please.
I'm not asking the audience.
Let the applicant answer the question that's being asked to him. Okay.
What I'd like to know then is, if that is a stable that's on a farm that exceeds 5 acres, whether or not that stable area or 5 acres should be counted towards the open space.
Good question. I don't have an answer for you.
I don't know that I do either, but that's why I asked.
I don't know that. I can only think of one historical experience where there was a proposed subdivision that involved an equestrian center. The equestrian center was significantly smaller than this particular project, and it was not limited to just persons who owned residential real estate within the particular project. The project was not built, so we don't know what the final configuration is. But I do believe it was approved as a subdivision by this commission.
I think it was, as Mr. Lang pointed out, I think it was an RPC. We've seen it where there's been stables, but they've been brought back in under an amenity for the existing subdivision, not public, as Mr. Thomas stated.
The one that I recall was not an RPC. It was a subdivision.
Well, I wanted to follow up on Mr. Wheatley's question, so I've got some others, but I'll let him.
Well, we'll get to that, and I would ask if you would, for the benefit of the commission, if you would look into this issue further.
I will.
And we'll move on to Mr. Couts.
No additional questions, sir.
Okay, and to Mr. Lang.
No additional questions.
Now to Mr. Robertson.
Back to me again. All right. I have a couple questions, not in any particular order, I guess. What is it that you're asking the commission to review? Because you've talked about this being a subdivision under the Environmentally Sensitive Development District Overlay Zone, as you said, which is quite a mouthful. And you've also referenced the cluster option, and there are two different code provisions within the zoning ordinance. Which are you asking for?
It's the environmentally sensitive overlay. Okay.
The next question I have, you showed some elevations, I guess front elevations of structures. And it looks like a lot of the lots are 7,500 square feet, 8,000 square feet with the setbacks. What's the size of the houses that you're talking about in terms of how they're going to fit on those lots?
The size of the home? They would be similar to what exists in Baywood right now. I believe.
What size lots are in Baywood right now?
Minimum of 7,500 square feet. The majority of the ones we show on the plan actually are 7,800 square feet, increased a little bit.
The lots are. Okay.
Yes, the lots are.
Right.
The homes are still going to be modular, just like the current Baywood, and it'll operate the same way under a land lease.
Because it looked like with some of the elevations that they were wider rather than deep, and when you talk about 60 feet minimum frontage, I think was referenced on the plan, and you take out the 10 foot on either side, you end up with 40 feet of frontage, and that's why I asked the question whether.
No, usually the width of the home will vary between 30 to 32, sometimes up to 34 feet. The depth, roughly 60 feet plus or minus some porch structures, and then the garages alongside will be set back, and they'll vary in width from 20 up to 24 feet, and then roughly the same depth, 20 to 24 feet.
To further answer that, none of the lots are 60-foot minimum. 60-foot minimum is what the code says. That's okay. What we put on there. We're 75, 78-foot wide lots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't tell from the plan because that's one of the things it doesn't show on each individual lot is the width. This is a question for Mr. Schrader. There was some reference to how many lots you could actually fit on this if it was done at the 25 or the 20,000-square-foot size. I just want to get that number. I think he estimated it, but
it was estimated around 450 total.
450 total.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I couldn't tell from the statement what it was.
That was a quick math in my head before, so it's close.
With DelDOT's comments, is one of the questions that I think everybody wants to know, probably in the audience, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Does that take into account all of the Baywoods development? Because we've just seen another, I guess, RPC or subdivision that was approved on the other side of 24 on the, and I'm just wondering how this all fits together, because that seems like that's going to impact that corridor as well.
I'll answer the first part. For what we're presenting here, this is what they requested for this particular development. I'm sure DelDOT has other.
I didn't know in your discussions with DelDOT how that went in terms of whether they looked at it as a, because you've presented it as a big Baywoods project, but then it seems like with regard to the DelDOT improvements, you're talking about it singly as this project.
I think the project you're referencing, that went through here recently, we have not. We've sat down with them on a traffic impact study scoping meeting. We have not gotten beyond that. I'm sure we'll comply with whatever they'd like there, but we haven't gotten as far as we have here with that.
Okay. And then I don't know that maybe you did touch upon it, and I apologize if I ask and you already did, but the stormwater management ponds. It seems like, with regard to some of the other Baywoods projects, they're more integrated into the central areas of the project. Was there a reason for their location where they are on this site plan? Because one of the things the commission's looked at is, a lot of times, typically, trying to get them away from entrances unless they're an entrance feature sometime and make them so they don't impact other people's properties along the perimeter.
They are located from both a planning standpoint as amenities. If you come through the first circle, there's some ponds around there. The site is very flat, but one of the lower portions of the site is, as you're looking at it, the plan to the right. So that's why there's a couple ponds shown down there. But there's a lot of ponds shown. Some are going to be, they're all going to be for stormwater management, but some are amenity and some are, we really need those.
Which ones are the ones that you really need?
The ones on the right of the lower point are typically where you want to put your ponds on your lowest part of the site.
Okay, so the ones on the right. All right.
Yeah, and there's going to be, there's a couple up, there's a little one up north too.
I think that's all the questions I had for now. Yeah, I will follow up with the commission, though, on that question about the stable.
All right, sure. Thank you.
Another question?
Sure, go ahead.
In your photo index, you're showing streets with sidewalks on both sides. What are you planning and are proposing in this section?
The photo references a street that has houses that front on both sides. On a street like that, there will be sidewalks on both sides. There's a few streets on the plan where there's houses on one side. There, we will put a sidewalk just on the one side that the house fronts.
You really don't have
it. Yeah, we have a few areas.
Any lots that front on the street are going to have a sidewalk.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, because I know in these proposed findings, there was reference to the paved multimodal pathways and sidewalks, but I just wanted to clarify that there would be sidewalks fronting all
properties.
All the lots. All the lots. Okay. That was it.
Okay. Gentlemen, if you would kindly stand aside. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your project. but there might be one or two. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-72 Baywood LLC? Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please.
Good evening. My name is Gay Wallen. I live at 32618, also called Lot 3116, Long Spoon Way in Baywood. We've been residents of Sussex County for 2 years. We selected this county because of the Baywood community after searching for about 3 years. Our initial draw to Baywood was, of course, the lush landscaping that makes it so pleasurable to drive through the community, and we are not golfers. Secondarily, our selection was determined by the type of neighborhood that Baywood was designed to foster, which is neighbors that enjoy each other's company and care about one another's well-being. We have studied the plans that are being put forth before the commissioners, and we wholeheartedly support Mr. Tunnel's plans to build Bridalwood at Baywood. We are not employed by Mr. Tunnel, nor will he reduce our land rent because we support his concept. We truly believe that he has a vision as he develops his land holdings that will make life enjoyable not only for folks who buy in Bridalwood, but also will improve the quality of life for homeowners in adjacent communities as they enjoy the calming effect of the landscape he creates. We have found that Tunnel Companies honors their word when they say they will take care of something, and this commitment goes beyond the one-year mark, as well as beyond the boundaries of an individual home. Tunnel Companies, under the direction of Rob Tunnel, has been more than willing to work with the residents on many issues, such as the ladies wanting a place to have an aerobic exercise group, to another situation where we had several homeowners in a cluster and there was ponding on the road. They all live near each other. There was ponding in front of their homes. Problems are confronted and worked on until a satisfactory solution is reached. We are confident he will show the same diligence in completing a beautiful project at Bridalwood at Baywood, and also that he will follow through to address any concerns voiced by adjacent community members as the project progresses. By accepting Mr. Tunnel's planned community, the state and the county will benefit greatly with the improvement of Banks Road and also the intersection of Route 24.
Thanks. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Okay. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Okay. I'm sorry, what? You're in favor? Oh, I'm sorry. Come on. Well, that's nice. That's fine. You don't need one. Just tell us who you are and where you live.
My name's Heather Gray. I live at 16 Deerfield Drive in Briarwood Estates, which is behind the Windswept Stables on Route 24. Okay. I'm a realtor at REMAX, so I'm very interested about hearing about this project because of the potential of bringing clients who are looking for equestrian properties. Baywoods, I think, is a beautiful community. I've not ever sold a property there, but do take clients there for lunch. A lot of people I know play golf there if they don't belong to the private clubs. It's been very accessible for, just about everyone in the community. I like the idea of having an equestrian facility. There is a shortage of equestrian facilities in Sussex County. Windswept Stables is currently filled. The next boarding stable I can think of is probably up in Milton. It's much smaller. I think it's a good opportunity for children to get the equestrian experience. I like the idea that it will be open to the public. I do have some specific questions about how the facilities are being built and the horse management, which I could maybe address with
the
developer separately, but overall it sounds like a nice project.
Okay, catch them on the sidewalk after class.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All righty, thank you. Anyone else in favor? Okay, I want to thank all of you. In favor, ma'am? You raised your hand, I didn't know. Okay, just waving to me? Thank you.
Hey.
Okay, you've all been wonderfully patient, been waiting a very long time. We've been here almost 3 hours. Here's how I'd like to do this. Are there any attorneys representing people with an interest for the opposition? Are there any attorneys? Are they any? Yes, sir. Okay.
Norman Barnett. Yeah. I'm representing myself
Okay, well then, hang.
Adjacent to where I live.
I understand that. Okay, we'll get to you. Is there anyone who is representing a group? Mr. Tyler, you're not representing a group tonight? Okay. Well, I would like to have the lady in the red, followed by the ladies right behind her, followed by the lady over here in the dark. And let's get these, let's do those, and then we'll move on from there. Go ahead.
My name is Janet Holston Roca.
Here's what I need you to do. If you pick that mic up, put it right down in front of you. There you go. Now, I'd like you to tell us your name and where you live and what group you're representing.
Okay. My name is Janet Holston Roca. I live at 24272 Water's Edge Trail, and I'm here to represent neighbors that can't be here, neighbors that are here that aren't speaking tonight.
Okay.
My husband and I have owned property off Banks Road for over 20 years. We've been in our present home, which is located on Hopkins Prong, for 10 years. We've been in the area for 40. In evaluating the proposed project, Bridalwood at Baywood, we have to consider health, safety, and the welfare of residents. An adverse impact and negative effect on the environment will be generated on neighboring properties in the region by increased traffic and emissions. Two rural access roads, which have been mentioned, Green and Banks Road, have no shoulders. The intersection of Banks Road and John Williams Highway, Route 24, is a dangerous intersection and the site of frequent accidents. The entire section of Banks Road between Long Neck Road and John Williams Highway has no shoulder and contains a sharp curve near Winding Creek Village. People do crab from the bridge on Guinea Creek. With 621 homes proposed, estimating two cars per home and a riding stable, we're looking at 1,242 more vehicles. This does not take into account horse trailers and non-resident vehicles visiting the public riding stable. And at the same time, clubhouse, pool, and tennis courts would also generate more traffic. Mr. Tunnell shared with us recently at a meeting that the reconfiguration of the T intersection at Banks and Green Roads would be amended to a four-way intersection when access from Baywood's golf course is constructed. As other approved projects in the area near completion, more traffic. Drawing on information from the PLUS review prepared by the State of Delaware Planning Office, 237 acres of forest exist on the property. 184 acres of forest will be removed, resulting in a 77% reduction of trees. I also read the applicant's response, and I, too, did not grasp the math. Elimination of forest cover impacts air quality and clean water, as the trees serve as filters to clean water and draw pollutants to the trees that would otherwise end up in the air. Delaware's air quality has been in a state of non-attainment for many years. It fails to meet the standards of the Federal Clean Air Act. Estimated emissions by DENREC attributed to the proposed project will be 8,860 tons per year. This information is from the PLUS review. Source of emissions, vehicles, generation of electrical power, and emissions from area sources associated with the project completion. An estimated 2,388 residential lots and 5,210 homes are for sale in Sussex County. Do we need more? Infrastructure is stressed in the area. We have to be aware of the welfare of residents in looking at the need of more lots and homes at this time. In closing, I've spoken to Brian Hall, Circuit Rider Planner, State Planning Office, and was advised that Mr. Tunnell's response to the PLUS review has been received. However, state agencies are unable to respond prior to this public hearing. As a result, the public is unable to prepare a response to those issues. I respectfully request that the public record remain open to receive comments for a period of 15 days beyond such time as the Department of State Planning's final comments have been filed with the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. And at the same time this evening, I'd like to submit a copy of my statement to you and have it entered into the public record.
Be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Next. We need your name, where you live, and who you're representing.
I'm Diane Koch. My brother and I own, with my mother, Mary Joseph, an adjoining property that will join to this proposed subdivision. I would like at this time to respectfully submit a petition that we have signed by the residents and landowners that's going to be adversely affected by this proposed subdivision. We have a total of 161 signatures.
If you would hand that up to our attorney, please.
I apologize. One sheet is blood splattered as 92-year-old Mrs. Thelma Rowland went out knocking door to door trying to get signatures, and this is how important it is to these residents. They're elderly, but they're very concerned. One thing I'd like to bring to the committee's attention, it's a very important item that's been omitted on your proposed plans. Near the east end of Green Road, where Mr. Tunnel's property line is shown, the bulk of the adjoining property owner's name and type of property is not shown. That person is my mother, Mary Joseph, and she owns a 55-acre farm in that location and should be so noted on your proposed plans. Every other landowner that joins this proposed subdivision is listed accordingly on these plans. It is unknown as to why my mother's name and type of property was the only land not named and identified on said plans. We talked about Green Road and its condition. One thing I believe was not mentioned, it's a no-outlet road. It's one way in, one way out. So proposing another, I did the math on what we thought was going to be 679 cars times two would be 1,358 more cars, and that's less than a calming effect for that area. Mr. Tunnel advised a group last Monday night in his meeting at Baywood of his additional 500 homes on the north side of Route 24 across from Baywood Golf Course, an additional 300 on the east side of Baywood Golf Course dumping onto Banks Road. Now we're looking at 800 additional homes not mentioned in this proposal, and an additional 1,600 cars if you do two cars per unit, plus the 1,358 cars. And in round numbers, we're talking 3,000 cars, all within a half a mile radius. A half a mile radius, if you can grasp that concept. And these roads just absolutely cannot handle the volume. Even though he straightens out at the end of Banks Road onto 24, that's not going to keep it from being the dangerous intersection that it is. I spoke with DLDOT Representative Donna Robinson in Dover regarding the stats on Banks Road, and her data was not totally complete. In 2003, at the intersections of 23, which is Long Neck Road and Banks Road, and 24 and Banks Road, there were three accidents reported. 2004, there were six accidents reported. 2005 were six accidents, and 2006 is incomplete at this time. There have been accidents reported on Green Road, zero, and we'd like to keep it that way. The proposed subdivision shows two circles, and these circles would prohibit timely responses from emergency vehicles such as fire trucks, ambulance, police, paramedics, and it would also prohibit farm machinery and farm equipment and horse trailers with the other existing homeowners that have those and classic car utility trailers. This farm has been in existence for 200 years, and income generated from this farm is a necessity for the landowner. Governor Minner realizes extreme problems that these circles have created as her son experienced entanglement in Milford recently with his farming equipment while trying to negotiate a circle. The farmer that tills this farm, Bob Lawson, is going to be speaking on this later in detail, how it's going to affect his crops and his farming activities. Again, I can't quite get the concept of the math on where he's going to have 141 buildable acres, and to me it's 4.85 units per acre instead of the 2.13 allowable, so maybe later on someone can explain that to us. On the proposed on-site wastewater management, Mr. Tunnel explained that at his meeting. These types of systems in the local area that have been approved in the past for developers to install in developments, those systems have proven to fail.
Such failing systems were found in the woods at Herring Creek and Bay Colony, to name a couple. Current residents on both Banks Road and Green Road do not want to be forced to hook up to a type of system as such as this or central water, as they currently enjoy a functioning septic system and good well water. This would also be an additional financial burden on these residents if they were forced to hook up to sewer and water. When asked Monday night to Mr. Tunnell how this would be treated, he said that it would be spread back on the land, but did not give the exact location. I know we've talked about that. But again, it's hard to determine in our minds that this wastewater will not infiltrate our aquifer and contaminate the local residents' well water. So we would like to see a copy of that report and exactly where he's going to spread the manure that is going to be created from the equestrian center as well. Crime has been obvious in the other tunnel communities in the area. Crimes including robberies, break-ins, rapes, and murders. Currently, there are both families with small children and elderly widows and widowers on both of these roads, and none of us want this type of activity brought to our area. Currently, the residents on Green Road enjoy a quiet, peaceful, and safe lifestyle, and this will totally disrupt and destroy that peaceful, safe lifestyle, not only during construction, but during the removal of all the wooded area, which is at least 75% of the area, once you deduct all the roads and the buildings. Again, it's a no-outlet road, and we're putting 1,358 more cars on a no-outlet road. We touched briefly on the schools a while ago. Well, if there's that few children in there and he's targeting the senior citizens, would he consider making Bridlewood an adult community, a community for someone who's 55-plus to live there? And that would eliminate the influx of the children. That would cause the need to expand the local schools, more referendums that increase taxpayers' property taxes, and an additional financial burden on the current residents. The current real estate market conditions have softened, as we all know, and it's a buyer's market now instead of a seller's. And with the 7,300 homes on the market for sale, both new and resales, of 7,300 listings, there are 1,500 listings for Lewis, Rehoboth, and Milton alone. That's quite a saturation of inventory. Homes for sale in fee simple, land you own, have slowed, let alone those on leased land. Lease-held properties are not attractive properties to finance in the lending industry. Many lenders will not do a mortgage on such properties, so financing options are quite limited to homes such as in Baywood and the proposed Bridlewood and all the tunnel communities. So do we really need 621 more units, plus the 500 on Route 24 and the 300 that's going to dump onto Banks Road? There's just no justification for all this additional homes being built in the area, and it's obvious that the existing roads, even with the improvements, will not be able to handle the heavy volume, let alone another 3,000 more cars. Driving has become very dangerous on Route 24 and Banks Road and Route 23, which is a long neck road. And again, I ask you, where is the justification? Many of us have seen the articles in the local newspapers showing where Mr. Tunnell has donated millions of dollars to very worthy nonprofits, and that's great. Tunnell Cancer Center and Easter Seals, to name a couple. If Mr. Tunnell truly wants to give back to the community, the best way to do that with this property is to donate it to the state of Delaware to be used as a wildlife preservation.
Hey.
It is acceptable if he wishes to create his equestrian center in the field on Banks Road, providing there is an adequate healthy removal of the manure, but the rest of the property that's on Green Road would be an ideal place for wildlife preservation and for the environment, keeping all the trees in place. So, Mr. Tunnell, I'll ask you on behalf of your father as well. We're asking you as a group of concerned...
No, you ask me if okay. You're going to ask, and then I'll ask him if I think he needs to be asked.
Okay. Mr. Wheatley.
We're saying that, and I want to make it clear to the people in the audience, is there's rules that govern the Planning and Zoning Commission and how public hearings are conducted. And one of the things that I made, and maybe some of the people that here this evening weren't here at the very beginning of this meeting, is that we're not going to allow public outbursts. We want to keep these meetings moving along smoothly and give everybody an opportunity like this lady to speak without interruption. So I would ask and reiterate Mr. Wheatley's sentiment in this regard, that there be no more outbursts or applause or cheers or anything with regard to the presentation, so that they can continue smoothly. Thank you.
So, Mr. Wheatley, I'm asking that Mr. Tunnell would consider greatly the concern of the landowners and the adverse effect that his proposed subdivision to reconsider how grave a negative end result will be for this area and consider his next donation that would enable him to give back to the community if he truly has the community's best interest at heart to donate the land on Green Road that he presents tonight as proposed plans of Bridlewood to the State for Wildlife Preservation. To those of you on the Planning and Zoning Committee, we respectfully ask you exercise good common sense and in good conscience, knowing how this subdivision will have tremendous negative impact for those living on Green Road and Banks Road and the surrounding areas and for the good of the taxpaying citizens that will be so severely affected, to please deny the approval of this subdivision. And we sincerely appreciate your serious consideration of this request.
Thank you,
and I'd
Ms.
like
Cook.
To enter this for record, please.
Please do, and we thank you for your comments and for your patience. The lady over here.
Good evening. My name is Kathy Sager. I represent 39 families in the subdivision called Winding Creek Village. That subdivision lies in this area. Winding Creek Village is a 300-lot development. It's been in existence since the mid-1970s. Some of us have lived there since the late 1970s. Our homes, usually are for sale at the moment. They're running between $400,000 and $1.2 to $2 million. A lot of our homes will back up directly on the subdivision here. We have some very grave concerns about the value of our property and the intentions of Mr. Tunnel to maximize his profit margin. Certainly, we have no objections to a development per se. It's his property. He does have a right to develop it. We would hope, though, that you all, as public servants, would assist the community in making sure that it is a responsible development that also is in line with the community surrounding it. Baywood is a nicely dressed up, beautifully landscaped, slightly larger pot nets. We are now looking at an even larger Baywood at our own back door. We have 621, I believe, or 671 units that are proposed. They will be modular homes set on leased land, and the density, in order to provide 40% greenwoods, will be quite more than what we're dealing with now. We're asking that you consider having the tunnels decrease the density down to about 300 units instead of 671. Currently, this property from here back is all woods. All of these people here and everyone in our development and most of the people around in the area are used to seeing deer, red fox, raccoons, etc. I don't think there's any deer going through Baywood. I don't think there are any fox running around there. Not to say that there isn't a place for such developments in Sussex County. Obviously, our best hope would be that it wouldn't be in our backyard. But if it must be, we ask you to consider scaling down the size, giving us greater woodland buffers. Now, if you look at the property, they have told us here today they're going to give 50 to 100 feet buffers, and there will be trees at the back of every unit. If you look at current Baywood, buffers and trees means just that. You see the green of the tree and everything underneath is cleared. It does not present any good visual buffer from our backyards to the houses that are placed much closer together because of the cluster concept than we have in our unit, and it provides no noise barrier. Obviously, an area of this size that will have swimming pools, equestrian centers, we're hearing golf carts, will present much more noise than we're accustomed to dealing with, than anybody in the area is accustomed to dealing with. You've heard lots about the traffic. Let's go one other sort of problem that we foresee. Mr. Tunnel is going to do his own wastewater treatment. No objection. There's nothing in here that says he can't put townhomes. He has in Baywood. We'd like to see no townhomes, just single family homes. His water is provided by Long Neck LLC, which I believe is a tunnel company. We were told in a meeting with Mr. Tunnel previously that the presence of 671 more homes would only drop the aquifer by about a foot. I believe you'll hear from someone here tonight that they've done some research. That study is over 10 years old and does not take into account additional new development in the area. The other thing that we're concerned about is the type of buffer that they have. As I said, cleared buffer. The last plans I saw, which was Saturday, in that clear buffer included bridle trails and walking paths, so that the 40% tree preservation is not true woodlands preservation. It's not true open lands preservation. It's multi-purpose. And I'd like you to consider that. In short, and I know that's hard for you guys to hear, I'm sorry, but in short, we'd like you to seriously consider halting your approval until all of the reports are in. And if you feel you must approve anything tonight, then I would suggest you approve a concept of a development, but that you await further hearings and findings on the number, the type, the open spaces, and not tell them to go ahead yet. That's all. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
There's a couple more things in there about times of construction and things of that sort, but
okay.
That's basically it.
Thank you. Okay, I think we had an attorney over here on the right-hand side, Mr. Barnett.
Hi, my name is Norman Barnett. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I appear before you now and then, and in this case, I'm appearing before you as a resident who lives on the waterfront right in front of this development. My access road is one of the reconstructed roads that's coming in here. Our address is 24232 Water's Edge Trail. I'm not going to reiterate a lot of the things that other people have been talking about here, because I know you're going to get a lot of cumulative effect and we're going to get tired. But there's some things I think it's really important that you focus on. Hardly anything has been said about how this is going to impact Herring Creek. I think you all know what Herring Creek is like. I'm sure you've boated up there, whatever. It's a very narrow tidal tributary. It is a very narrow mouth, which comes out right by Mr. Tunnel's house into Rehoboth Bay. And it goes back and it basically dead ends up Hopkins and Burton Prong. The creek itself is very environmentally sensitive because it doesn't flush well with the tide, whereas the bay and Indian River Bay flush pretty well. This is an area much like up by the country club, whatever, that just doesn't flush well. It's very wind dependent on flushing. It doesn't flush in the summertime because we have prevailing southerly winds. In the wintertime, we get some northwest winds. It does flush somewhat. What this means is that any contaminations and whatever that get into the creek tend to stay up there in the summertime. Now, what we're dealing with here is, I don't care how it happens, these retention ponds and taking away all these trees, It's got to have some impact on that creek. It's got to have a major impact. And I think the plus recommendations dance around this, but I don't think anybody really comes out and really looks at it very hard. I think Denrec at some point had said that there's some impact that this is going to have, but I'm just not sure who said it. The point is that you're not only going to have the runoff problems, you're going to have boating problems. You got to remember one of the aspects of this development is a boating ramp or crabbing facility. I'm not quite sure what it is, but what I know what it's going to be is that people are going to be tying jet skis up there. And the people who are going to be in this development are not coming down to this area to get a second home, you know, to look at horses. A lot of them are going to come down here to be on the water. And they're going to put crab pots out. They're going to have jet skis. Because I suspect that a development with these small lots, they're not going to let them keep boats in there. So they're going to keep jet skis in the garage. And there's going to be a zillion jet skis out on that creek, which there already are. There's just going to be a zillion more. That contaminates the water. That's noise contamination, a very irritating thing. And I live there, and I've been there for 25 years. And I can tell you, it's like living on I-95 on a weekend. The other issue on water quality, and I think that you alluded to it and as to where this water goes, this wastewater. Well, it's going to pump into the golf course pumping treatment facility and get sprayed on. But at some point, water runs off. And I think if you go around Banks Road, you'll see where the Guinea Creek actually runs right up into the golf course. So the water runoff at some point is going to get into that watershed, into Guinea Creek and into Herring Creek eventually. So I'm not sure it just disappears into the golf course. In general, I think an ill-thought-out plan to put, we're not naive enough to know that there is going to be a development here. We know that. And Mr. Tennell generally does a fairly nice-looking development, but we also know it's there to maximize the number of units he can get in there for the buck. And I suspect